returned by Southwestern. And that one is tipped and out of bounds. Southwestern University will advance to the next round of the 2016 Division III NCAA Volleyball Championship Tournament.
Hi, this is Robert Rochelle with D3VBWest.com. And if things actually worked correctly, this podcast may have had an intro. And if it worked correctly, that intro was the announcer of the 2016 UT Dallas Regional Final match between UTD and Southwestern, where Southwestern won in five sets. And it's actually my ringtone to my phone, and I thought, hey, what a great intro. I'm sure it won't offend anybody. Right, comments? Won't offend anybody, right? But I've decided to try to do a podcast on this Volleyball Eve opening day, and I guess I should say happy Volleyball Eve to all of you. 2021, fall 2021 for those who played in the spring. My last podcast was actually a little over 6 months ago, so I only did, I think, three podcasts for the last season, as it was. And obviously those that read the site know that I've had some issues the last 6 months. From a podcast standpoint, it certainly has impacted things. But the other thing that's really kind of hurt my ability to do the podcasts is COVID. And the fact that my wife, who still earns a living, thankfully, it can work from home. And so when she does that, obviously, I'm going to defer to her because what she does actually makes money. So that has severely crimped the podcasts, but she is out tonight as I do this on the 31st of August, as I said, on Volleyball Eve. And so I wanted to go ahead and do one and kind of go over a few things. One of the items I like to talk about in the podcast prior to the season are about rankings. We've got the ABCA rankings, which came out, and they were published and linked to from my site. So we'll talk about those for a second. There's also the Massey rankings, which there's a link from my site as well to them. And I just got thinking about that because of something that I published the other day, the Quality Win Index. And I was kind of looking through the Massey Index and was just shocked at how really bad it is. I'm not sure what they're looking at or even if they're trying at this particular moment, but they've got some really wacky rankings on there. And if you click the link and go to it, you can go kind of investigate yourself. But just go figure out where Johns Hopkins is. That's just kind of incredible to me. And shows that they probably aren't paying too much attention to it. The AVCA, on the other hand, that's a collection of coaches that have volunteered to submit ballots, votes for the best D3 volleyball programs. And preseason, coming off a COVID year, virtually impossible. No wrong answers, only right answers. It's fun that from a Region X West region perspective that Trinity and Colorado College are the top two teams in the nation, both out of the SCAC. So kudos to them, my home conference. So it's very, very impressive that they've got that kind of reputation going into the year. Colorado College obviously coming off an undefeated year in the spring, and Trinity had a very good year themselves. I think they only lost to Colorado College, and returning basically everyone, and still has a number of players, all the important players from their Final Four appearance in 2019. So two very good choices, in my opinion. As far as the other top five, you had Calvin, Emory, and Carthage. I think all are traditional powerhouses. I really like Carthage. When I kind of played around with the top 25 way too early and kind of just had fun with it, that's the team I had as number one. Interesting that Johns Hopkins is sixth with 23 first place votes, and I think I had Johns Hopkins around that same spot It turns out they're getting some graduating seniors to stay. They've got an excellent, excellent transfer from Susquehanna that's coming into play. So I think they're going to be really good. If I was redoing it, they would be in my top five. What I thought was interesting, though, is they were the second most first place votes with 23, but they were sixth. So that tells you that a lot of people are not respecting in a, the defending national champions, the 2019 champions in John Hopkins. Rounding out the top 10, you had Hope, Barry, Chicago, CMS. I'm not as high as on Chicago as maybe most are. CMS kind of scares me. But I've heard some good reports from them. So, a lot of powerhouses in the ABCA top 25. I think, they kind of steered away from some schools that that didn't play in the spring. The North New England region had Bowdoin and Tufts, and that was basically it. So it's all interesting. It's all correct. There's no wrong answers. We're gonna get some data points once the games start playing. But it's just fun that we get rankings and that we are going to play volleyball and hopefully an entire season. And I guess the one other thing I'd mention is that it was just amazing to me how many voters we had for the ABCA. So I don't know if that's a policy change or just coaches were more into it. But I have never seen as many schools get votes as I have this time around. Just a huge, huge number. Oh, I guess the other funny one right out of the West, St. Thomas was in the others receiving votes, which is perfectly fine. I'm not even sure they're eligible because they're in the third year of their reclassification. But I got to believe that the voters that were voting for St. Thomas were voting for St. Thomas, Minnesota, which has moved to D1 this year. So, oh well, they'll figure that out, right? Or maybe St. Thomas will just win every match and prove that they belong. So, but I thought that was all very interesting and intriguing. Since I brought up rankings, I guess I'll touch on the rankings I did for the region, Region X, Region 10, X-rated region. I had eight teams ranked because that's what the regional rankings are going to do. I had Trinity, Colorado College, UT Dallas, Chapman. I had Mary Hardin Baylor. I had CMS, Kalamazoo, and Whitworth. And had some time since then. I've learned a few things, gotten to see some rosters that I didn't get to see before. I wouldn't make too many changes. I would keep my top three of Trinity, Colorado College, UTD. I'd actually top four, Chapman. I would keep them there. I probably would move CMS ahead of Mary Hardin Baylor. I think CMS is going to do well. I think everyone's out there going, well, no kidding. But you just have to realize how much talent they've lost over the last 2 years from their from graduation and their national championship team. They have no more members from that team on the court this year. So if there's ever a time to beat them, this is the year. But I'm hearing some good things. I know they have a great recruiting class. So I would probably move them ahead of Mary Hardin Baylor. I like Whitworth now a little bit more than Kalamazoo. I always like Whitworth. Boy, I hope they don't let me down. And Kalamazoo, I think, had lost a player that I thought they were keeping. Still have some really good talent. Whitworth ahead of Mary Hardin Baylor, that might be even something that I would consider. So that's my region right now going into preseason. Not much different than what I wrote about a few weeks ago. But that's kind of what I'm looking at going into the season. And speaking of the season, let's talk a little bit about what you can expect on the website starting with matches tomorrow. So for those unfamiliar with the website, or those that just have short-term memory loss, or even long-term memory loss, we typically do a match day. And when I say we here at D3VB West, and I'm talking about the entire team, it's really just me. I'm the team. I'm the we. But I'm here for you. Occasionally, my cat is also here, but she's not here right now, which is good. So you'll see a match day, and what the match day has is going to have, hopefully, if I do it right, all of the matches that involve a Region X team regardless of where they're playing. And what I try to do is get the links to the video stream as well as to the live stats. And when the match is over, I try to link the score in, put the score into the web page, the match day web page article, and then link in the box score. And so I just think it's nice to have a one-stop shop for all of that information. You don't have to hit a bunch of tabs. Sometimes information isn't updated very well. I do run into problems because the Northwest Conference likes to play late. They're 2 hours, 2 hours difference, and for some reason they like going to five sets a lot of times. So that can be very annoying, and sometimes you'll just have to wait till the next morning. So I also put little blurbs in there underneath the list of matches where I talk about the things that interest me, and then at the top I kind of leave a placeholder to kind of talk about stuff that happens if I happen to catch games up top, and I might mention players or teams or something that unusual that happens. So that's the match day report, and you'll see that every single day that there are matches. And I hope it's useful. I hope it's a useful tool. If I make a mistake, I don't have a stream working, always go to the team's website, go to their schedule, see if they have it. You can go to the conference schedule, see if they have it. You can go to the opponent's schedule, see if they have it. There's a lot of places that may or may not have it. Sometimes you got to dig a little deeper than that, but hopefully not. Hopefully not. But I know that I have at times. So looking at tomorrow's match day, and by the way, they get posted at 2 a.m. Central Time on day games, on the day of games. So please wake up, whatever time that happens to be for you, and make sure that I've got it, and send me a message if I happen to miss. But I expect everyone up Central Time, 2 a.m. tomorrow to check out match day. If you want, you can sleep in and check it. It'll still be there in the morning. But that's up to you, and that just shows a lack of enthusiasm as far as I'm concerned. But looking at the schedule tomorrow, two matches that I like from a regional ranking standpoint. And regional ranking, I always hate repeating myself, but some of this stuff's kind of important. We just talked about rankings, and all of that is unimportant. It really is. What is important is when the Regional Advisory Committee, the RAC, gets together come October, and they start printing out weekly regional rankings. And there's now 10 regions, so we're gonna have 10 regions that do it. And these are the rankings at the end of the year that are used to determine the at-large team. So let's say number one is Trinity in the Region X, but Trinity wins their conference, so they just put a line through Trinity. They've already got a spot, no problem. Let's say number two is Colorado College. They obviously didn't win because they're in the same conference as Trinity. So when the at-large bid selection comes around and you have 10 regions all fighting for a spot, Region X will come in with Colorado College. They won't come in with Colorado College and CMS and Whittier and Whitworth and all of these other teams. They're coming in only with Colorado College in this example because that is the highest team on their list. So 10 regions are fighting. There will be 10 teams going at it. And that's how it works. And you go by the selection criteria, and you compare, and you hope that the team from your region or the team that you're interested in wins that battle, that criteria battle, and gets selected. And let's say Colorado College wins that battle. They get put into the at-large bid. They're in the tournament, and we cross their name off our list. And now we go down to number three. I think I had UT Dallas. Let's say they won the conference. We cross them out. We move down to team number four, and that's how it works. We just go right down the list. And we only talk about the teams sequentially. And where we get into problems in the past is sometimes you might have a team, and it usually comes from head-to-head games. You might have a team that isn't nationally criteria-wise better than the second team, the next team on the list, but they beat that team, let's say. And so that's one of the selection criteria. So they're placed ahead of them, and maybe that team isn't very good from a selection criteria nationally, and they don't get selected. And the team behind them may have been selected, but were kind of blocked. And so that's another situation that happens. And that's why the ordering of the regional rankings is so important, because you want to be in a position where your name gets called, gets looked at early in the process, isn't blocked by another team. extraordinarily important. And that's what I try to stress to everybody and why it's so important. And speaking of, we just had, I had an article about how the we were missing a RAC member from the SCIAC because the head coach of Whittier, Chris, he moved up to the RAC chair for the committee with the retirement of the Hardin-Simmons coach that had it from a few years ago. And so he's taken that role. There needs to be a representative from each conference. We were missing the SCIAC representative, and that's been taken over from by the head coach of Kalu. She's been on the committee before 10 years ago or so. She's got experience. She's won the whole national championship. Her team has been snubbed in years. She knows how important this is, and I think that's really, really good for our region to have someone like her on this committee. She's going to fight well, I believe, and we've got a pretty good committee. It'll all be up to Chris, the Whittier coach. He's got 57 last names, and I can't remember them off the top of my head. Durant's one or something like that. And he's like Kevin Durant. Let's just call him that. It's a lot's on Chris's shoulders to push the Region X teams, and really knowing the selection criteria. And I know that I've got sidetracked. What I was talking about were two games that I liked, or two matches I liked on Wednesday. One of them is my team. Concordia is playing Southwestern at Southwestern. Why is this important? Because I really have these two teams kind of outside my top eight, and it's important from, again, an ordering standpoint. Whoever wins this has obviously got a leg up on the other. So it's kind of it's match number one for both of these teams. But it's really, really important from a regional perspective, a ranking perspective. If one of these teams is pretty good but drops this game, it could really hurt them once regional rankings come around. The other one, kind of the same issue. You've got UC Santa Cruz playing at Whittier on Wednesday. I'm taping this on Tuesday, so it's tomorrow. But that's another one. That's two teams I don't, that have kind of a tier below Concordia and Southwestern. But since we haven't really seen either one of these teams in almost 2 years, I really don't know. And Whittier's got a couple really nice players, huge team, huge roster. UC Santa Cruz, more unknown, but they're intriguing to me. I like a number of their players, and I'm going to be really interested to see them play. Are they going to be what I think they can be, or are they going to, be more middle of the road? But again, if either one of these teams wants to have some fortune with the regional rankings, this is a huge game to start off with to go ahead and get the victory. And then the only other match day I'll mention, so Thursday, I looked at that. We've only got one game in the West, Region X, where we've got teams playing. That's going to be Mary Hardin Baylor playing at Belhaven. And what's intriguing about this is that that's the first match for both of these teams, and it's going to be a conference match. And I don't think I've seen that. I've never seen first game out of the docket is going to be a conference match. And so that ramps up the pressure a little bit. Now, Mary Hardin Baylor should take care of Belhaven. But again, you don't know. First game, and it is at Belhaven, and they can be feisty. But Mary Hardin Baylor, they're one of the teams that I have ranked in my top eight. And, so just really intriguing. That's definitely one to kind of look into if you have the ability to do that and kind of get a feel for how those teams are going to be. Continuing on with Mary Hardin Baylor, just for a second, the reason they're doing this is because they're actually out there. They're playing in the Millsaps tournament, which is in Jackson, Mississippi, which is where Millsaps and Belhaven exist or located. Just a few miles away, even maybe less than that. One rumor I did hear, and I kind of reached out to a couple coaches just to clarify, but at one point I thought the Millsaps tournament may not be happening, but evidently it is. Obviously, it was in the path of the hurricane. It was didn't really hit them that hard. I don't think it was hurricane strength when it went through Jackson. They're very inland. Well, not very, but they are inland. But the other thing I'd heard is that there was a COVID outbreak on a couple teams. So COVID's going to be an issue. It's not going away. We are going to have some, I think we'll have some matches canceled, forfeited, whatever they decide to do this year. But one thing that a rumor I'd heard is that Maryhill and Baylor was having some difficulties because their accommodations got canceled, and so where they were going to stay for the tournament, I guess, dropped them. And I'm not sure they've fought through that yet, or if they're not going to be able to make it out to that tournament. But they were going to play over the weekend, Birmingham Southern, a ranked team, a very good team, which was probably not probably was going to be their toughest out of conference opponent for the year, most likely. So that would be a hard game to miss, and something they really can't afford to miss. But so hopefully it'll all work out. They can get accommodations or get to play in that tournament. A couple more things I kind of want to talk about. I touched on the Quality Win Index, QWI. It's something our good friend from New England, Ned, not his real name, puts together. And it's just an interesting, fun little model. He uses rankings to kind of determine the quality of teams people have put on their schedule, and gives them points and goes. And since the rankings change throughout the year, obviously that allows the QWI to change as well. But I always like having different viewpoints on scheduling, and I've been very clear I'm not going to be critical of schedules this year. I think it was very difficult on coaches to put schedules together. The ASC, holy cow, they switched to one division, 10 teams, home and home series. If you do the math on that, that basically leaves them, if they play two matches a week, that leaves them one weekend to play out of conference, which is not sustainable. You can't do that and have NCAA tournament aspirations. So they're going to have to figure out how to do some pod playing where they get multiple teams over a weekend and crank out a bunch of games, or they're going to have to figure out how to get three or more matches in a week. And that's all for next year. But that's, again, another reason why I'm not trying to be too critical, even though there are a few schools that I don't have any hair right now, but I would pull my hair out. But back to QWI, it's just good to have different methods to look at schedules. So I recommend that article. And again, if you have a school that's not listed, you can put something in the comments and I'll look it up for you on Ned's spreadsheet and let you know where they are. I thought Trinity's schedule was really good. It came out, I think it was 10th, if I'm remembering right. Chicago was number one, and when I went and looked at it, I was just in disbelief over what they've scheduled. Really, typically a very good team. I'm a little worried about them this year, but boy, if they put it together, that's a great schedule to go out and do some damage on. I was going to talk about the RAC here, but I already did. The fact that we've got a new RAC member. The other thing that I wanted to touch on is we've had realignment, and it kind of gets lost in all the COVID stuff. But we've got in the past 8 regions. We were the West region. Now there's 10 regions. Essentially, it's not as clear cut as this. Is what they've done is they've taken the New York region, they made it 2 regions. They take the New England region, they made it 2 regions. So we have 10 regions. Again, not as clear cut as that, but that's essentially what was done. There was some moving around and such. So I get confused now to go, well, what's the South region? Oh, it's region 6. What's the Central region? And I don't even know what the number of that one is, but what's going to be interesting is in the past, there was the belief or the concept that every region would have a regional come NCAA tournament time. So now for the West, that didn't happen the last 2 years. We haven't had a regional here since 2017. I'm sorry, 2019. No, wait, 18, 19. Let me get my math in my head. No, I was right the first time, 2017. We haven't played since 2019. So we don't really ever call them West regionals. We would call them the UT Dallas regional or the Trinity regional or the CMS regional. But they would be consisted of mainly those teams from that region because the NCAA doesn't want to fly teams around. So now with 10 regions, it's not possible for 10 regions to have 10 regionals because the math doesn't work. So it's going to be interesting to see how that works. Now again, Maybe nothing changes. Like I said, there's essentially two New England regions. We could have a New England regional. There's two New York regions. We can have a New York regional. So it'll just be interesting to see what it says, what the NCAA does. It'll be interesting to see if the West puts enough teams into the tournament to force a West regional. And basically, what happens is if we can get 7 or 8 teams in the tournament, then they pretty much have to have a West regional. If we only have 6, then that makes it more feasible to fly out those 6 teams to other regionals. And again, that goes into a lot of other stuff that I don't really have time to talk about. But believe me, I love talking about it, so it's kind of killing me. But so maybe nothing's going to change in that regard. Maybe something will change in that regard. The bottom line is we need to put teams into the NCAA tournament. We're very top heavy. We have some very, very good teams. Trinity, Colorado College, CMS. Those typically lately are the big heavy hitters. And then, and I forgot UT Dallas. And then we've had Mary Hart and Baylor step up as well. So, then you get to the next tier and we've had a drop off. We've had some teams. Unfortunately, my team, Southwestern, hasn't been in the tournament in a few years. So that's a huge loss for the West. We typically get one team out of the Northwest Conference, right? So if someone else from there could put a schedule together and put wins together and show that they belong, right? That's a huge deal. Same thing from the AAC. We typically only get one team from the AAC, which is kind of criminal the last few years because both Mary Hart and Baylor and UT Dallas have both deserved it. And maybe the selection criteria doesn't say that, but you'll find the selection criteria is kind of biased against our region simply because of how the region is constructed and how much travel is required, and what that then does to the construction of our schedules and how those schedules can play out. There's some criterion that are very very nice to schools that can play regions that they can drive to, and we don't have that ability here in Region X. And so that's a big killer on really two different criterion. And that's in a nutshell why it's a lot more difficult for a Region X team to make the NCAA tournament than it is for teams in other regions. But before I get too far into that, I'm going to stop myself because I could talk about that forever and bore you to tears. And if you're listening to this while driving, then I would be afraid of you just plowing into the car in front of you because you fell asleep. So let's not have that. I'm just happy we're going to see some volleyball. I'm very happy that I'm going to see some Southern California teams play. And I'm just really happy and excited to see what kind of quality we have out of our region. So to I think I wrote this down in one of the articles, but to all the players out there, just enjoy what's about to come and just have fun. So few athletes get to do what you're going to do at any level. Parents, don't miss the matches if you can at all avoid it. My daughter's freshman year, she wasn't playing. We elected not to take a couple trips, and of course she ends up playing more in those trips than she did when we got to see her, and so we always kind of kicked ourselves. But the 4 years are going to come around quickly, or in Trinity's case, the 5 years are going to come around quickly, and you're going to miss it, and you're going to miss it so much. And take some video because the video streams will all be taken down at some point, so you're going to want to have your own video just to pop into the DVD or whatever technology we have in another, 10 years. And just enjoy the time. And to the coaches, God, you must be just excited to get back to work and have the kids in the gym and doing what you love. And to all of you, I just say let's have a great season. And again, I'm Robert Rochelle, D3 VB West, and happy Volleyball Eve, everyone.
It'll be returned by Southwestern, and that one is University will advance to the next round. of the 2016 Division III NCAA Volleyball Championship Tournament.